Welcome to LTU Perspectives, a journey into the experiences, stories, and adventures at Lawrence Technological University, a student-hosted podcast filled with insights and the intriguing stories that embody the LTU spirit.
Welcome back to another episode of LTU Perspectives. I'm Nico Sparks. Today, we're joined with Brendan Chinevier, fellow media comms student, student assistant, and lacrosse player here at LTU. Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Nico. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Appreciate you being here.
Always.
So, media comm, that's your major. How are you liking it?
It's a lot of fun. You know, it's something I picked up in high school a little bit, you know, picking up a camera and editing videos and all that. Kind of realized it was something I wanted to do, you know, beyond just high school and beyond just a little side hobby. So, you know, luckily Lawrence Tech has an amazing media comm program here and the professors are great and love it here.
Yeah, absolutely. And LTU wasn't your first college, is that correct? Tell me a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so coming out of high school, I was originally at Indiana Tech, actually, playing lacrosse there. I won't go into the full details, but after a couple weeks being there, I ended up, you know, leaving campus and did not return. Ended up transferring to Washtenaw Community College after that for the remainder of the 2021-2022 school year, and then transferred to Lawrence Tech in the fall of 22 because the head lacrosse coach, Paul Nemzek, he reached out to me and said, you know, we got some scholarship money for you if you want to come transfer and play lacrosse still in college. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So now I'm here.
So you've been to a couple of colleges outside of Michigan. Are you originally from Michigan or where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm from Saline, Michigan. It's just south of Ann Arbor, for those who don't know. It's kind of a smaller town, you know. It's one of those cities that everybody that lives there kind of works in Ann Arbor kind of vibe.
Sure.
So that's where I'm from. It's where, you know, I was born and raised. So Indiana Tech was kind of a little high school rebellion in me, wanting to, you know, get out of state, get away from my parents as much as I could, you know, and then ended up not working out. And then, you know, obviously came back home to Saline and then just went to Washtenaw Community College in Ann Arbor. So like a 20-minute drive.
Nice, nice, nice. And then over to LTU, which you are here till this day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's awesome here. Love it here.
Yeah, yeah. So how does our media communication program stand up to these other colleges?
It's kind of a tough question because a lot of schools have a similar program, but they define it under a certain name or like a certain focus. So I feel like here at Lawrence Tech, you know, media communications, I feel like a lot of it's kind of, you know, formed around news and television. Whereas, you know, I feel like that's kind of a standard, but like there's some schools like at Indiana Tech, it technically wasn't like a media communications. It was just a pure communications degree is what it would have been.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, entering like my junior, senior year, I'd be able to pick like a specific concentration, you know, before graduating. So it'd be like, you know, there's like sports media, then there's like film and writing. So it's kind of like this communications degree that could kind of branch off into other sections at Indiana Tech. So it was, you know, it's similar, but it's different, which I feel like, you know, with our major is kind of how it is at a lot of schools nowadays. So
yeah, it's a little more all-encompassing versus being specialized in a certain place.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, obviously the digital media world is like still growing. It's, you know, it's very new, especially to a lot
of people. Up and coming.
To a lot of schools. Yeah, up and coming. So, you know, schools are kind of, there's no like specific, like versus like law or like, you know, pre-med. It's like, this is the degree. This is what you're learning. It's kind of like every school's, you know, a little bit different. There's no like set standard.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just such a new thing, mm-hmm. and it's evolving so quick, which is really cool that we get to go to a tech school.
Yeah.
Which you've only been at tech schools and then the community.
Yeah. But I mean, even at community college, I was in the associate's program for digital video production. So it was still...
Oh, so very, very similar.
Still the same alley, yeah.
So on top of school, you're also a student athlete. Mm-hmm. You are a lacrosse player.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about that. How'd you get into it?
I actually like this story of how I got into lacrosse. So back in fifth grade, we were having like a gym unit, like a lacrosse unit in PE class. And one of the days in the spring, there was like the fire, like our local fire department was having like a cookout at our school.
Oh.
And we were outside, you know, with the fake plastic sticks and, you know, playing around in gym class. And as we're like going back into the gym, one of the firefighters comes up and was like, have you guys ever, like, me and, you know, a few of my buddies, like, have you guys, like, thought about playing lacrosse? And
just, like,
you know,
random firefighter? Just
kind of a, well, so he was the coach for the middle school
team. Oh, okay, okay.
And a little random at the time, and I used to play baseball, and I was kind of, at that time, I was like, I don't want to play baseball anymore. Like, so then, you know, when sixth grade rolled around, I was like, Mom and Dad, like, hey, can I come play lacrosse? And both of them kind of looked at me like, what is that? You know? So yeah, I always enjoy that story because it's not, you know, the most normal of how somebody gets into sports.
Yeah, like. Absolutely. I don't know how many people could say they started lacrosse from a cookout, but yeah. There you go. So from sixth grade all the way to you're a junior in college now, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time, and you're still loving it still?
Oh yeah, I love the sport. I love the community that it has. You know, it's such a, it's, you know, one of the most growing sports in America right now. So, especially like, you know, when we do like volunteer stuff and like youth clinics and all that, you know, just being able to share the game, grow the game. It's always a great feeling.
Youth clinics. Tell me about that. Is that like getting kids involved with a lacrosse?
Yeah. So the club program that I work with, Omni Lacrosse Club, we every like couple times a year we host these like free youth clinics for, you know, kids like 10 and under, just to come and, you know, try it out. You know, obviously we pull out like the box lacrosse nets so they're smaller than the field nets, and just give them some tennis balls, and like we provide sticks for them. It's always, you know, a good time, but just to help grow the game and, you know, introduce it to more people out there, because, you know, as it's growing, it's still hard to find for, you know, younger kids. You know, it's like really starting to become more common at high school levels, but like, you know, middle school and below, it's, you know, still hard to find. So
yeah, people are finding out at cookouts.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. So that's really awesome. So kind of taking these kids who might not know anything about lacrosse and getting them interested. Mm-hmm. That's really cool that you're doing that.
Yeah.
So box lacrosse is the national sport of Canada. I learned that right before this podcast. But you do field lacrosse. Tell me about the differences in that.
Yeah, well, so I play both, actually.
Oh, cool.
So I play box lacrosse in the summer with a senior team called the Detroit Hooligans, and then obviously field lacrosse during the school year here at Lawrence Tech. They're very similar, but they're very different. As I always like to say, like, the concepts of the game are very similar. Obviously, like, you have your stick, you know, put the ball in the net, you know, got to catch, pass, shoot. You know, it's a very physical game. Both games are very physical. Box lacrosse is definitely a lot more physical. You do wear a lot more padding. Box lacrosse, it's, you know, also played like in an indoor arena, kind of like a hockey rink with like a turf flooring over it. So a lot more action going on in box lacrosse. It's a lot more chaotic, you know, because you can have balls bouncing off the walls and stuff and different directions.
Sure.
You know, it's, and everybody's, you know, a lot tighter quarters instead of a giant football field size.
Cool. And the Detroit Hooligans, what a cool name for a team.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. So you're a really busy person. Mm-hmm. You do lacrosse. You're a media comm student. How do you balance the school with your sport?
I mean, as every college student would say, it's time management. I know it's one of the most basic skills you got to learn. what people don't talk about, I feel like, enough is the sacrifices that you have to make sometimes. You know, personally, I probably sacrifice a lot of sleep just in general. Yeah. Because I just have a lot going on, and like I have, you know, such a structured routine that, you know, I want to do stuff, a certain amount of stuff during the day. And like, in order to get that done, like, you know, sometimes it requires me to wake up at, you know, 5-6 in the morning and, you know, just to go and get a lift in before my day starts, because I know I got, you know, 3 classes during the day and then practice later that night. So it's.
And on top of that, you're also a student assistant.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're very, not, I wouldn't say very busy, but, you know, we definitely can get some texts at random times from students and from professors asking for our help. So you're kind of always on call a little bit with that. So, yeah, as far as like a structured schedule, it's nothing crazy, but you could definitely be surprised at any moment during the day.
I'm also a student assistant, as you know, Brennan,
yeah,
for the media communication department. And it's really awesome that we have, it's me, you, and Connor, which having the three of us is really awesome because there are a lot of people who need us all the time. You're a TA on top of that. And really, the schedule, it sounds like, really goes day to day.
The stuff that we handle is definitely a day-to-day basis kind of thing. It also depends on, you know, what teachers are assigning certain projects that week. You know, we may be not have anything to do for 2 weeks straight or something because...
Yeah, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, yeah. And, but then, like, next thing you know, like, every single class is working on a project. Every single kid needs equipment. And, you know, we're basically... I feel like there's a couple times where I'm just running back and forth between my dorm and the classroom just to get equipment because, I don't know, some kids can't manage their time that well, but, and we can't organize it well enough to get them all at one time, but.
So you're a junior, graduation is coming up quick. Mm-hmm. What do you plan on doing after you leave LTU?
So this fall, I had an injury, you know, that's allowing me to medically redshirt this season for lacrosse, so. After this year, I'll actually have 2 years left, so a couple more years until I'll actually graduate. But hopefully after that, you know, I can get a job working within sports media, you know, digital marketing, that kind of thing. Hopefully if it's with like a professional sports team, that would be awesome.
Yeah, any sports in particular you'd love to work for?
I mean, I feel like lacrosse is the obvious one.
Of course.
You know, when you play the game, it's not something you really are too eager to leave, I guess. But, you know, there's other sports too. Like football has always been, you know, one of my favorite sports to cover. Basketball has always been a good one. Same with hockey. Like a lot more of the action-packed sports is what I like to go for. So.
Yeah, and there's so many that it's really, you know, your pick. I mean,
yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah. So going back to your injury, you touched on it for a second, but what was your injury? When did you get it?
Yeah, so back October 21st, 2023.
To the day.
To the day. I was playing with the Detroit Hooligans, actually, in a little, like, fall tournament that our team hosts every year. And early in the game, I just, you know, went to go set a pick on a guy, and kind of just how my knee moved, it was kind of a little funky, and, you know, went down, and a couple days later, the MRI came back and ended up having a fully torn or a complete tear in my ACL.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know, so, but since then, had surgery back in November, right before Thanksgiving, and it's been just an uphill climb from there, but hopefully being able to be back on the field by summertime.
How's the healing process going with the winter season?
It was good. You know, I'm kind of at the point now where, you know, I was actually just talking to my physical therapist the other day about, you know, possibly this being my last month of specific physical therapy kind of.
Congratulations.
And then transitioning more into performance therapy is what they call it. So a lot more sport-related activity, a little bit more higher intensity, really just getting me ready to be back on the field, but not to the point where, you know, I'm going to, hopefully I don't re-tear it or something during,
yeah, absolutely,
during training. So,
yeah. So being on the sidelines this year, what was that like? How long have you been on? You said, when was your injury?
October.
So you've been on the sidelines since October.
Yeah. So with how the timing of it was too, like we had literally just finished the weekend before the tournament that we played in. We just finished our kind of fall ball, like fall practices and scrimmages for LTU. So we were, so I made it through the full fall season there, and you know, we were kind of starting to slowly transition into getting ready for the spring season, and then obviously that happened, and it was definitely a tough adjustment for me, because not to sound cocky, I haven't really sat on the sidelines that much in my career.
Sure, so always on the field, of course.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it was definitely a weird change for me. And then just not being able to practice or even like just work out for a couple months, really, like it was definitely a weird adjustment, but it was something that I kind of got used to pretty quickly. So
yeah, you went from really high intensity to really low intensity really quick.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It definitely isn't something you can really mentally prepare for either. It kind of just, it happens and you have to kind of prepare for it as you go almost. And that was, you know, one of the harder things going through was just the whole mental side of it. And, you know, having to sit on the sideline and, you know, watch my friends, my teammates, you know, the guys I love, you know, play the game that I love. And I'm just kind of standing there and there's nothing I can do. So it was definitely hard mentally for a while, but, you know, you kind of figure it out as you go a little bit.
Yeah. And just being, having to heal. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you learned now that the season's wrapping up and you're healing? Is there anything that you learned by sitting on the sidelines that you're going to take?
Just to enjoy every moment of it. You know, obviously with COVID recently and, you know, the past few years of my lacrosse career haven't exactly gone as I wanted it to, you know, COVID my junior year of high school. Ugh. And then, you know, had a great senior year. That was a lot of fun. And then, you know, because of the whole transferring, I didn't get to play my freshman year of college like I wanted to. And then come back and playing last year. It's kind of been like this back and forth, you know, these past few years. So really just, you know, going to take it all in next year and just enjoy every moment, enjoy every shift. It's really all you can do at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you thinking of continuing lacrosse after college?
I mean, it would be awesome for sure. You know, if an opportunity comes, like I'm going to, you know, try to take it and do the best I can there. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, I didn't come to college to go to the pros, you know, like doesn't really happen much at the NAIA level anyways. Like, I just kind of decided to continue playing it just for the love of the game. And it, you know, kind of helps pay for school a little bit too. So
absolutely. Well, you're doing a lot here at LTU. Is there any advice for new students coming to LTU for how they can play lacrosse and be such a prominent member in the media comm department that they get promoted to student assistant?
Yeah, I mean, so you kind of touched on a handful of things there, but I mean, for, I guess, student athletes specifically, you know, for college athletes specifically or kids, you know, transitioning to college athletics, like, you really have to love the game, you know, that you're playing. Like you can't, you know, half-heartedly go through it and think you're just going to fly by and, you know, be fine. Like you really,
especially at
the college level, like you really have to enjoy it. You really have to want to show up every day and put in the work. And, you know, I see a lot of kids that are like even teammates that were really talented, but they just didn't have the love for the game anymore. And it, you know, started to show on the field a little bit, and it started to show outside as well. Like they're too busy partying and drinking and, you know, trying to have this college lifestyle, which, you know, I respect them for if that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. But like if you want to be a college athlete, you want to, you know, compete for, you know, a national championship or a conference championship, like, you really have to kind of lock in and, you know, do everything that you can to be better and, you know, manage your time well, get enough sleep, eat right, like, you know, tedious things that, like, sound stupid, but, like, they really do make a difference, especially at the college level. A lot of the kids come in and it's like they think because they're the best player on their high school team that, like, they're going to do fine. Like, whatever they did in high school, it's going to be fine. Like, college is a whole different world than what high school was. And, you know, when you get to, you know, your college team, like, the guy to your left, the guy to your right, the guy across from you, you know, every other freshman in your class, all the seniors and grad students, like, they were all the best on their high school team. Like, they were all top players, you know, probably all state players. Like, that's what college athletics is. You know, it's, you know, there's only, I think it's like, what, like 7% or something, or 12% of high school athletes go on and play in college. Like, there's a huge drop off between the skill level from high school to college athletics.
It's a big fish, little pond situation. You guys are all big fish in a bigger pond.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm your host, Nico Sparks, wrapping up another L2 Perspectives. You have a great day.